to clarify something that was in the legal that we left off last in our last meeting. When I revised the numbers to the health insurance savings offset by the BOCES expenses, we ended up with a budget surplus of $67,000. The Eagle, it was recorded as that was our ending fund balance. It's not. We have more than that, thankfully, in our fund balance. It was also requested that we go over some terminology and formulas and that have to do with the equalization rates and the setting of the tax levy. So we'll try to touch on that. This spreadsheet is what I prepare and is sent into the counties in mid to late August. This shows it in its totality, and we're going to go through some individual items. But you may want to refer back to this as we're going through it. Oops. The tax levy. This is the total amount of money that we need to raise locally to fund the annual budget. Essentially, there's four revenues. We have our state aid, we have our other, which are small items that usually don't amount to much more than a couple $100,000 in our budget. We have fund balance that we can use, and then we have the tax levy. And that is the dollar amount that we would be raising locally through taxes to balance the budget. The assessed value, that is the value placed on a property by the assessor of your town or village. The equalization rate. This is set by the state, and what this number does is a percentage that used to bring your assessed value to market value. So if you're at 100% equalization rate, you're at fair market value. If you're at 50%, you're at 50% of your fair market value. And the percentages are all over the place. As you can see on that busy paper, there's 62, 24, 2s. They'll vary. They can also be over 100. True value, when the property is assessed at 100% of market value. You calculate your true value by dividing your assessed value by the equalization rate. So in this case, if you had a $100,000 home, it'd be divided by one, your home's $100,000. Then we come to the tax rate. It's what an individual pays per thousand of assessed value of their home. The equalization rate is at 100%, and the tax rate is equal to the true value tax rate. The equalization rate is less than 100%, and the tax rate will be higher than the true value tax rate, and vice versa. I have to give Colleen McDonald credit for this. She put together, we're going over this whole process, and she put this together, so I have to give credit where credit's due. So, we don't know until August of 2013 the actual equalization rates that affect the 13-14 school tax rates. So, based on last year's rates, we can only create a general estimate. Why do the rates differ? Well, all towns assess their property values, and they all do it differently. For example, this year, a $100,000 house in Cambridge was really worth $96,154 because Cambridge's equalization rate was at 104. And remember, you divide. In the town of Easton, a $100,000 house is over $4 million because their equalization rate is only at a little over 2%. So how do we level the playing field? The equalization rate. The state sets a rate that the town's assessed value is divided by to find the true value. The true value represents what everyone would be paying taxes on if we were all assessed at 100% and a $100,000 home was the same in all the townships. Again, we have 8 townships: Cambridge, Easton, Jackson, Hoosick, Scaticoke, Salem, White Creek, Pittstown. Why is it so confusing? State balances our property values using an equalization rate to determine the true value of property. Then the share of the school taxes of any town is based on the true value of the property in that town. true value tax rate is an average across all the townships in a school district. But the actual tax rate is based on the assessed value. So, if you take 100,000, we pick two of the largest townships. If you take two properties, both valued at $100,000, apply your equalization rates, the home in Cambridge has a true value or market value of $96,000. The $100,000 home in White Creek has a market value of over $161,000. When you look at the township as a whole and all the assessed values, true values in that township, that's going to be the share, their share of the levy. So last year, the town of Cambridge was responsible for almost 32% of the levy. Town of White Creek is a little bit over 33%. That piece of property is going to have a tax rate of $14.02 per thousand in town of Cambridge, but that same piece of property, same value, assessed value piece of property, is going to have a tax rate of $23.52. The Cambridge share of the school budget is less because the true value of the property is less, and the tax rate, assessed value times share, will be calculated on the assessed value, which is skewed. That $100,000 house in Easton, which is almost $5 million, is taxed at a rate of $705 per assessed thousand. I know it sounds like a lot, but remember they're only assessed at 2% of their value, and taxes are determined on the assessed value. That $100,000 house in Cambridge, that's really worth $96,000, is taxed at a rate of $14.02 per assessed thousand. That's right, right now all we can do is estimate because we don't know assessed values. Those are determined by the counties. We don't know equalization rates. That's determined by the state. We won't know any what we call 551s, 520s, which are where they recoup back taxes. Maybe you had a star on a property you shouldn't have, and the county will get that money back. It's like the horse races. The racing form comes out hours before the race with odds based on the history of the horse, the barn, the trainer, and the jockey, but you don't know the actual odds or payout until the race goes off. As of this evening, we only have the racing form. Does anybody have any questions on the tax levy, tax rates, equalization rates, or any of these terms?
Why aren't the town of Cambridge and the town of Easton the same? Who dictates that? The town?
No, the state Office of Real Property will say that the assessments aren't equal, so they'll apply an equalization rate.
He wants to share. If you go back to the...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go back. This will come into play when you're looking at, as you'll go back to that one, that very busy sheet. And I don't know without going up here and pointing.
Yeah,
you have a pointer?
Yeah, I do. If I can get it.
Remember.
Okay. There we go. What they do is they pay the total of the property here. The tax levy here, and say that this is the portion of the total that you're responsible for. So what they'll do in this particular case, Hoosick, is 25 million of the 527 million. They find out what that percentage is, then they multiply that by the total amount that needs to be raised to 7.6 million. And that's the share of the district, the share of the portion of the levy. 527 is one, and the 7,693 is one. So now we have something to compare the two to. If you take what each of the different townships are worth in here and take the total, divide it into that, and your fraction, that's the share of the district that will be multiplied, that's the share here, and that's multiplied by the total. Find out how much money has to be raised within that township.
Why can't that equalization rate be the same for everybody?
The equalization rate makes everybody equal when they get them to true value. The only time everybody's considered the same is when you get the true value. Everybody's different.
It might help to understand that Cambridge did doing a property revaluation this year and did one, I think, 5 years ago. Easton hasn't revalued its property for decades. So the assessed value in Easton is going to be many, many times lower than the assessed value in Cambridge, and the equalization rate is just a number that they use to correct for that.
New York State Office of Real Property Services takes a look at every township in New York State and compares them and tries to get everybody on the same par. The fact that Easton hasn't revaluated in years and years, that's why theirs is low, to bring it back up to what the true value, the market value is. In Cambridge, I think it was 2007 at the height of the market when Cambridge was reassessed. And that's why they got over 104, because they're overassessed at this point. So if you take a look at the number that's in Cambridge on the assessed value, it's 170,000. But because it's over 100%, the value actually is less at 163. It's trying to level it out and balance it out. And that's the hardest thing, because that determines, when you figure out what the value is, you can't do it over here because everybody's valued differently. So you gotta get the true value by taking equalization rate, dividing it into what the assessed rate is. Equalization rate comes from the state. We don't get to see the equalization rates until August. I think the earliest it's ever been in the last 12 years is July 29th, and that was only 1 year. And it's been as late as August 26th. So as soon as they determine what the equalization rates are, then that's why when you go here to the tax rates, that's why those numbers are figured on the assessed values and they're not the same. If everybody were equal, you'd be down here in the yellow on the true value. That's the amount of money that is on your market value, what you pay per thousand. So if your house is worth $100,000, we usually use $100,000 just to make it easy, but everybody also has a STAR exemption, or you should apply for a STAR exemption. And that's the other thing. They still haven't determined whether or not they're going to make us re-apply for the STAR. I don't know if everybody has paid attention to the news. There were a couple assembly people down in Albany that have two STARs. You're only allowed one. They don't understand how it works. They have a house in Albany when they're working, so they put in for a STAR, and they were granted the STAR. So the STAR is a deduction. It's usually $30,000 or $50,000 if you're at 100%. If you're not at 100%, it's decreased proportionally based on what your equalization rate is. So it's balanced out on the assessed value to be equivalent to the $30,000 or $50,000.
So what this gentleman said, the only way to make it all equal would be that for every town to assess the property in the same year, right? Basically, that's what
you're saying. At 100%.
At 100%, right?
The only way to make it equal is 100%.
No, wouldn't that make it easier?
Oh,
but
yeah.
It just seems like towns aren't made to reassess, though, right? Towns aren't made to reassess.
They used to give so much per parcel in the township if you're at 100% to the town. And I don't know what happened to that. But even at that rate, I remember standing in front of a large group of taxpayers, and they were upset at the town of Kingsbury assessor for being at 100%. And I stood up and I said, she's the only one doing her job. Because if you take a look at the tax rates, can anybody give me 0.494033 portion of a penny? If you think about it, and this is part of, we said this as a joke, she learned it in her...
It was a computer programming class.
Oh, it was a computer programming? There was a gentleman down in Rensselaer County that truncated the numbers, okay? Which means, take a look at the first one, at 4.9, that 4.033, he put in his own bank account. He got millions of dollars, okay? So if you take a look at the true value tax rate, it's only 59 cents. But everybody else has rounded off to six digits past the decimal. Which, the law of large numbers, math people, there's always going to be a slight skewing of the numbers. We have eight townships, we have eight equalization rates. 550s and 520s are down here in the lower right-hand corner. Those are, like Beth said, corrections in whatever happened last year. A house was sold in the The House got it originally star enhanced, and the new people only got a regular star, so it will be reassessed and corrected the next year. Those numbers that you see down here are actually subtracted from the amount to be raised in taxes in those townships. So that's why if you take a look at the levy, it's $7,697,000, but the amount that's raised is only $7,693,000. We cannot raise more than what the levy is. And those are re-levies, so those come out of what the levy is, into those townships. Does that help, Brian? Clear as mud. This is one of the most difficult things to try to have anybody see, because if we were to sit here and say how much it is, which we're going to in a few minutes, we're talking about true value. Okay? So when you see your tax bill and it says that your house is assessed at $100,000 and you're only have an equalization rate of 50, your house is actually $200,000. But if it's at 50, I guess Salem's the closest at 54, your tax rate's going to be 27 instead of the 14. Because they figured out what their assessed valuation is.
Oh, both numbers are on your tax bill.
Yes, exactly.
To look at the market value.
But that's part of what adds to the confusion as well. Some people think, oh, that's what my house is worth. It's quite frankly better to have your house in the town of Cambridge, because if you're over 100%, you're not paying the same, and that's better. And it sounds like it's foolish, but if they say your house is worth 104% more than it should be, you're not going to be taxed at the same rate. It's going to be a little less. And that's a good thing for the people in the town of Cambridge. Anybody have any more questions? Sorry.
So this brings us to our current budget. This includes the $67,000 that we had left our budget surplus, what I call a budget surplus, from the savings and the health insurance, et cetera. The past two times I've gone through line by line, but I decided not to do that again. But what I've done here is listed the function codes for how we account in a school district. Bottom line is, right now the 13-14 budget is at $18,559,386, up $1.2 million, or 7.44%. And this is before we factor in the additional state aid that was given to us on roughly March 25th, I think 27th. And this is where Mr. Feeney comes in.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, just a little bit, huh?
Yeah.
The last time when we had spoke, what we were talking about is trying to do something with the additional state aid that we received. If everybody remembers, the governor's run gave us $98,000 more. That, combined with the BOCES change or whatever, we seem to be able to restore the sports. So what the additional $274,881 would roll into, and the reason that I have the budgetary reduction in there, we have, I don't know exactly what it is, it's $7,000 and change per student if we send them to BOCES for the GED program. I have never seen a successful individual go to BOCES through the GED program. When I was at Hudson Falls or here. So in the past, we've had one or two people the last couple of years. That's why we tried to do away with it. We're projecting seven people, and one of the criteria is an individual who might be 18 years old, still in ninth grade. So those are the type of people that we're looking at sending to the GED program. But if we have seven people and we can do something with it here, what we're looking at trying to do is combine it with a couple of other positions that we might need. It would be, we'd get more bang for the buck if we had the individual here and the students were able to be addressed. And then if somebody else comes along, or what usually happens with the GED kids, they're drop-ins and outs. So we may have 22 kids that go through, but only the equivalent of 1.8 in the program. And that's gets very expensive if we send them to BOCES. But since we had nothing to accommodate him here, we were budgeting to send seven people, seven individuals. So that's a $50,000. So if we can do what the positions are below, I can take that $50,000 back and basically take the 274 and make it into 325. And this is also the order that I would recommend that we would go back and add positions. We have a large number of students in the second grade, so that would be the first choice. Spanish right now, we cut it to 6/10 this year. And the enrollment for next year projects two additional classes. That would be an additional 4/10, which would make that Spanish position full-time. We had some issues in physical education this year with labs and overcrowding of some sizes, so hopefully we're going to be able to fix that and maybe even offer back one or two of the courses that we eliminated from gym. And that's 4/10.
Is that where we're looking to also do that scheduling a little bit different?
Yes. Yep. There are a couple of things with the schedule, too. We're trying to do, instead of alternate day classes, we're trying to get half-year classes, which make a little more sense. That'll also help if we can do something with distance learning in those classes. The bio, math, and GE position, we're trying to get a distance learning room in this year that we can start to take advantage of next year. And that's because we got some extra money back from BOCES this year that nobody had anticipated, none of the districts in the BOCES. But we figured if we coupled a bio, math, GED person, and the bio we would look for so we could create our own AP bio, math to help with the transition to the Common Core. We're working with consultant Betty Barrett, and some of the options are to use a ninth period activity for some of the students that need to get caught up, because in the transition, I think it's seventh and eighth grade, lose like 20 days, and they have to make those up somehow in order to get caught up to where it was until everybody gets on the same cycle. If I'm wrong, correct me. But if we can do one bio, one math, and a GED, that would be one individual, one full-time position, and that the $50,000 up at the top would help supplement that. The next would be a kindergarten teacher. I'm a firm believer that the smaller the class sizes are at the primary, kindergarten, first, and second, it's better for the students. Don't have enough money to put a teacher at first grade, but we can do a teaching assistant at first grade. And then elementary computer aide, but what's missing is it's a slash library aide, so they'll have double duties in that particular position. But all of those add up to $323,000. Which it's just under what we have from the state, additional state aid from the legislators, and the $50,000. Didn't realize that happened. My microphone disappeared. Sorry about that. But that is basically using the $274,000 and not changing any of the other recommendations. If we go to the next slide, the equivalent of 1% reduction in the levy would be $76,914, just under $77,000. The extracurricular would have to be recompensated. The teachers went through for the last 4 years, and well, actually, my first year here, they took a reduction in what they were getting paid. The second year here, and last year was the first year we were back at 100%. And then this year they're doing the extracurricular for free. But that would leave us $117,000 if we reduce the levy by 1% and pay the extracurriculars, which, still taking the budgetary reduction, would either give me $117,000 or $167,000. And I still would go in the same priority. A second grade teacher would be first one back. Spanish teacher would get us or still keep us under the $117,000, as well as doing the PE person. But this is where it starts to get creative. If I can't, because I'm going to go over, if I can't do that, maybe we could just do a part-time individual for GED or whatever gets us to that. Or if we stay at the $117,000, then I have to have the $50,000 if we send people to BOCES for the GED program. We're trying to work out with a local school, too, that is doing a GED program, but the amount of money that they want to charge us would be larger than if we sent the students to BOCES and then the following year got the revenue on that expenditure with BOCES. So it would be foolish right now for us to do it with the local school.
Can I just ask you a question about GED? I know that we used to have a GED program here. Are we still all set with the accreditation if we choose to have a GED program here?
We didn't do it this year, but I don't know if Tammy's already filed, but we've already had that discussion.
We have already filed.
Yeah, we have filed.
Right. The application will be out in May, but they reopened our number.
Okay.
And I think he said by the end of May, the new applications will be on the state ed website.
There is a state aid reimbursement for that, but it works on the number of hours that an individual spends in the class time. So it's a convoluted formula. They go on the number of total hours that they have accumulated, times the total possible hours, and it's a division, and then it goes to a full-time equivalent. And that's how, when I said we may have had 20 people go through, but only 1.8 were in the program, that's how it works out, the number of drop-ins and out.
Is this person going to be able to do the work component, or are we thinking about bringing them? How are we going to suffice the other piece to them?
There are several choices with the work component. It could be with some like the general business courses or ethics courses and stuff like that. So I would love to do a work component where they actually go out in the field. It just makes it very difficult if they don't have, we don't have a lot of choices around here, and if they don't have transportation, it makes it impossible. The BOCES way of dealing with it would be, which is the other reason why I'm leaning towards bringing it back, they encourage anyone who goes to the Alt Ed, which is a GED or the GED, to take a CTE component, which means that's an additional $9,000 per student, which isn't in the budget right now. So, and there's all sorts of things. I haven't really talked to a lot of people about this because I don't know which way I'm going to be able to go depending on what we decide of how to go, but my concern is you got to get the right person in there, and I don't know if we're going to be able to, with a part-time person, get the right person in there. If we were able to combine it with a math GED, or bio-math GED, my concentration would be on bio first, because that's going to be the most difficult to fill. But there's a lot of biology certified individuals out there. We have nobody left on our recall list in science, so it would be somebody out there. If we have somebody that's laid off in math and has science background, that would be okay too. But I haven't found any dual certified individuals at this point.
It would be nice to bring back the people.
Oh yeah. GED usually is good to have a special ed person too,
yeah.
And we don't have anybody in special ed, so it would be somebody we'd be looking for.
Are some of the students that are in there, are they special ed that you're considering?
I believe they would be. If they're in eighth, ninth grade and still 18 years old, they're probably special ed or special needs. Yep. Talked about earlier with everything that Beth went through too, the initial projection was a 3.56% increase in the levy. Okay, that's the tax levy increase. It's not the individual taxes. If you put it into this year's, our equalization rate would go from $14.59 to $15.11. It's an increase of 52 cents per thousand. The average house in Cambridge and Jackson are about $170,000 a piece. So if you were to take the star off of that, 140, divided by 1,000, so you get 140 times the 52 cents, it's going to work out to about $72 increase for the 3.5% increase in taxes. And again, it depends on where they fall and what their assessed values are. It's going to be pennies within that range. And if the equalization rates change, I don't know if you remember the first presentation that I had done, I tried to show you over the years what's happened with our assessed values. We're within $3 million of what it was in 2007. That's why I think it's extremely important to realize that when Cambridge did their reeval, they were about 100%. In 2007. Everybody else has dropped since then, and everybody's starting to come back. I have no idea what's happening with the income. Combined wealth ratio does both 50% on income and 50% on property value, but the trend has been that it's less than it was when the property value was $527 million. So we're getting back to where it is, and I think it's going to be becoming more equivalent to what we were in 2007. Still trying to get the bills at the Senate and the Assembly passed to change our look-back period. They have both been moved to the Education Committees. And I have asked both of them, Jen Lunt from Betty Little's office, and I wrote directly to Steve McLaughlin after him being here last night. I figured we're buds. I'm just kidding. But neither one of them got back to me. But I think the whole point is, with the Assembly, I believe it's 99 is what they call it. They've 99 the bill, so it has to go to a vote on the floor. Which, if it goes to a vote on the floor in one house, most likely it will do the exact same thing at the other. So we should have a decision shortly on that. I don't know when. If that is the case, we need to get more money in state aid. And I'm still putting in for more bullet aid for Betty. Yeah. So. But that's where we are right now. If we... This would be the recommendation that I would give to the board. And again, it would be the order of restoring those positions, second grade Spanish, phys ed, those who are part-time, and then the others would be full-time. And depending on what happens or what the decision is, oops, the order of reinstatement, I guess, would be the same, and depending on how much money it leaves us. Anybody has any questions?
Vince, I have a question in regards to the teaching assistant for first grade. When you were going through that, you were talking about because of there was something. You said something about money. Can you tell me the need? Like, do we really need a teacher for that grade? And we're trying to put a teaching assistant.
I would put a teacher in that grade if we could. We at this point the numbers are much lower. The kindergarten numbers going into first grade. Colleen, correct me if I'm wrong. Are small enough where three teachers would be fine. And we could take the edge off by putting in the teaching assistant.
The bubble class is those kids that are currently in first grade going to second grade. There's 72.
Right.
So if the classrooms are jammed at,
I know.
It's difficult for the teachers to get their guided reading lessons in.
That's why I'm asking the question about first grade. My question is, obviously I'm not going to spend tons of money, but my question is a legitimate question that, you know, I don't want to be, if we need something, we should.
I see we can get by with the teaching assistant this year. We can go for the teacher next year, and next year at this time to add to the budget. I think we're going to be in a pretty decent, based on what's happening with the trends with the property values. I don't think our aid's going to be cut as bad as it has been in the past. What happens when your combined wealth ratio goes up, all your other aids go down, and that's where we're starting to see all the percentage on the expense-driven revenue starting to climb again, and that's encouraging. So
we really don't have any additional money there where we might want to look at a teacher?
I would have to do away with the elementary computer aid / library aid, and bump that up into a teaching position. When we had the discussions, I think I made the decision, I don't know, but I think we can get by with a teaching assistant for this year, or this coming year. But that is the goal, eventually, to have. When we had to get to that point, I remember Colleen and I arguing all the time. I wanted to try to keep them, and we just couldn't. And that was, the primary grades, I know, are extremely important.
Yeah.
And it also depends. Right now, our numbers in kindergarten are very low, but we're usually increase over the summer.
We're at 50 as of today.
50 as of today.
So I usually count at least another 10.
I was going to say, he'll go up.
Oh,
The computer aid, and this is why this is really important. Without computer
hardest thing, too, these are all estimates of what those individual salaries are going to be based on the recall and how people are going to bounce back and forth. We may have some extra money at the end, and if we can, we can look into changing the teaching assistant to a teacher. But I don't know, truthfully, how it's going to fall out. There's nobody on the teaching assistant, and there's nobody in the computer aids on the recall.
No, I don't think so.
So those two are
rehired.
Yeah. Nobody in GED that I have, there are recall for all of the other positions. I'm trying to think. We have a bunch of elementary positions, but people internally have expressed an interest, so depending on how that falls out from where they move, if we have somebody on the recall or if we have to go out and hire them, that may change some of these numbers a little bit.
And I'm assuming that if there's a teacher that's still left on the recall list, if there's a teaching assistant position,
oh, yeah,
and they were interested, we would go there first.
We always offer, that's how, what happened in Greenwich, we have somebody that was a teacher that was laid off and became a teaching assistant for our student in Greenwich. And that's usually the domino what we try to do. Every time somebody has gone on a maternity or extended illness, we've tried to take back someone that we've laid off so they're back in as much as they possibly can be.
Well, I can't speak for the rest of the board, but I would love to see that if we find that there's additional, that I'm very concerned about the first grade piece. I know this year you guys did a good job of trying to fill the gap, but, you know, I just don't want to really be put in that situation with our children at that young age.
I agree with you.
If there's anything that we can do.
We will do our best.
That's my own piece.
I will say, the numbers that have been given this year, and that would be in the grade level,
I also have to comment that I love the idea that you have in regards to the ninth, I'm going to say ninth period, but that's not what you said, but you know what I'm talking about, the flex piece of looking,
yep,
at how we might be able to support some of our struggling students.
Yep.
I would love to see that as part of what we're utilizing this person for.
Oh, yeah. The GED person will, technically the GED is 2-3 periods,
yeah,
and then 1-1. Usually, the staff has been assigned up to 6 periods, so we do have an extra one that's floating in there. I don't know how it would work. We're going to get dinged most likely on that position from the state with House, that we don't have somebody that's highly qualified in each of those three. I don't think we're going to be able to hire 2/10, 2/10, 3/10. So that's part of why, if we try to combine it into one position, I think it'll be more desirable for people. You'll be surprised, too, because when we did that up in Hudson Falls, we got a retired teacher that, oh, my God, she went through there and never lost a kid in the GED program. It got to the point where we ran a program in the morning for Hudson Falls students, and they paid half the salary to run a GED program for South Glens Falls in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And we had a work-study component that ran opposite that for our kids, and it was extremely successful, but, again, there's a much larger area to draw from to place the kids in a job where transportation is our biggest deterrent. If we can, because we can't just say, okay, we're going to put you in this job and transport you there. They're going to have to find their own way, because most likely they're going to work. They're going to work on a schedule that they will work out with the employer.
Vince, do you have to be HQT, though, if you're doing a partial position?
What we did this a couple of years ago when Shay was here, he was still, we got dinged because he's not physics certified. So that's one of the reasons why when a position opened up, we had the discussion with the union. I couldn't call back somebody because we needed a specific certification. Science is subject specified in their certifications. So that's why we had to go that route. But they'll ding us no matter what. The GED position is much more open just for that. They like to have dual certification. They like to see special ed and something else. But the GED is much more flexible. Where you're going to have the problem is the math and bio. So I figured if we could get a science or a math or math science certified, it would be a perfect fit.
That would also help with the content of the GED.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Can we do a consideration of bringing business back to high school?
Yes, I have. What I'm trying to do is...
We couldn't hear the question.
Oh, was I giving consideration to bringing back business to the high school? I've tried to do a couple of things with that. Greenwich has two teachers, and they're trying to get BOCES to certify one of their programs. And Argyle, Salem, and now Cambridge all don't have a business program. So I'm trying to convince Greenwich to open the program up to the three of us, and we could send kids there. But with the GED program, in the back of my mind, if I can't do a combined biomath GED, I was trying to go that route, and so we could get somebody back in that area so it can start to expand into more.
I would love to see that.
Oh, I'm an ex-business teacher, it killed me last year. Yes, ma'am?
So. Myself and then talking with a few other people, I think you answered my question was, in the newspaper, it did sound like you were going to leave the fund balance low. And I think there are people that were concerned about that. And as much as I would love to see certainly positions put in here, what I'm afraid is that you're going to rush to put positions back, and then what happens next year, I don't know if we don't offer a crystal ball, and then you're recutting positions. So those were my only two concerns. Number one, I think people want to see that we do have a solid fund balance.
Sure.
And number two, that as much as, let's hire back people, but I don't know if there's any sense that you feel about the next year or two after where we're going, and are we going to end up just cutting, teachers and,
I don't anticipate
them
that.
Off
if
next year happens,
I don't have a crystal ball, and I don't expect that to happen. From talking to the two people at the Senate and the Assembly with the bill, they're pretty strong that probably will go through within the next week. So if that's the case, that'd be fantastic, which means it'll set us up for the future years to get us quicker back to there. But I think based on what we saw in the changing of the combined wealth ratio with the value of the property going back down and the state aid that we got in the first initial run, I don't think we have that as a concern. And again, they're getting pretty beat up down in Albany about taking the money away in the gap elimination. So I think there's going to be a concerted effort from now on to restore that money. We got a thing from NISCUS, the New York State Council of School Superintendents that I belong to, and their estimation was that we were down more money than I had been saying, but they counted the federal monies, and I tried to eliminate those because that was a one-time infusion. And I don't see the increase in state aid as a one-time infusion. So from that standpoint, I think we're pretty solid. Believe me, I'm a conservative individual, and I wouldn't be recommending what we're putting back.
Yeah, and that's
it's nice to see the 5.8.
I think I'd like to ask the board, just to be careful again about hiring, because I think it would be, again, disruptive to everybody to have them re-fire, re-let go. I should say fire, but re-let go, and when you're really trying to come back from a program. I think that you're suffering from the fact that before this, as things got worse and worse, everybody hung on to too many, teachers, as we saw the students, population declining, and nobody wants to see teachers go. We've all been in the private, experienced that. But you also have to be realistic, because let's not go through the 2 years that you had to, what a horrible situation.
I had to let go of the same person twice.
What a horrible situation. So
I understand
as you reinstate things, make sure, again, that you put them back in really good places and maybe tread a little slowly so that they're real good, solid, positions. And then again, hopefully one of these days we'll be out of here and we'll be able to, again, rely on, year by year, like a certain amount of, aid and stuff instead of having.
Well, they guesstimate 3% a year. We have yet to get 3% from the last year. This is the first year since I've gotten here that our state aid was higher than it was the year before, and I find that encouraging. Our budget went up less than what our gap elimination was. I find that encouraging. Their signs are there. I don't want to be running through the street saying that everything's fine, but I feel much more comfortable than I have in the last couple of years.
How does Cuomo's pre-kindergarten program Okay, is that even in the works?
The universal pre-K or?
Right, is that something that's coming through next year, this year?
They have not taken.
In 5 years or?
It goes back to the fact that everybody feels that the education of the younger student is extremely important. My biggest complaint with that is that it's called universal pre-K when it's not. It's not open to everybody. And I wish they would make the funding available to everybody. As of right now, it's what they call a grant in aid, and the money is still there at the same rate that it is this year. So that creates part of the issue because we try to go in cooperation with...
economic, help me out, Colleen.
Colleen, who do we go
use for
do
UPK? Council on...
CEO, Troy.
Council on Economic Opportunity, is that what it stands for? CEO?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And they
okay.
They run a bunch of Head Starts, they run some of their own programs, and then they run some intake programs like that.
So the joint, it's really not our person, but it is our person since it's on our site, but it's not part of the budget because it's a grant aid, which I'm sorry, I can't get any clearer than that. If you don't spend the money, you don't get it. It's earmarked specifically for that. I guess that's a better way of saying it. So if we didn't run the program, we wouldn't get that money. But the governor still, if you listen to what he says, he talks about universal pre-K being for everybody, and I don't think he understands that everybody, all pre-K students are not attending universal pre-K. And I think it's just because of the title that they've used. There's too many people that think that way, and it's not. So the money's there right now. I don't know what they're gonna do. If you would have asked me, 4 years ago, I never would have thought they would take the money away. History, in the late 80s, early 90s, his father took away our May state aid payment, which was about $1.5 million. So that was a one-shot deal. It took schools, if you go back and track the history, about 5 years to make that up. He's taken $1.5 million from us for the last 4 years. So it's gonna be a long crawl before we're back to where we were. We're still down at least $700,000 in state aid than we were in 2009-10, 2008-9. We were $10,273,000 in 08-09, and we're still under $10 million. We're like 10.6. I don't know the numbers right off the top of my head, but we haven't even gotten back to that point yet. So hopefully they'll restore the gap elimination every year. Deb.
Another question, you showed the two scenarios where you back taxes now. When will you know this scenario right here, the 1% reduction in levy and the extra curriculum?
I guess as soon as the board adopts the budget.
Oh, I'm sorry, what was the question?
When would we know if we're going to go from this scenario with the 1% reduction or, this one? And when the board adopts whatever. The total expenditure is what we're looking at when we adopt the budget. So if we adopt the expenditure side of the budget, whatever, wherever we are, I will have to make work. So the 22nd of April, we have the BOCES meeting, and that's the drop-dead date for us to adopt the budget.
Vince, could you please explain what the top of this page you've got? Additional state aid, and then 1% reduction, and the extra for $80,000. Do you explain what that all is?
The memorandum of agreement with the Faculty Association was for the extracurriculars to be volunteered, and the MOA has not been reaffirmed at this point. So if we're going to reduce the levy, and I just picked the 1%, and that's what that is, we would have to count on at least restoring the extracurricular at this point, and that's what reduces the $274,000 to the $117,000.
So have you been, if we don't do the 1% that you're talking about, have you been assured, and I don't even know if I can ask this question or not, so you can tell me whether you can answer it or not.
There have been discussions, yes.
That they
the board has been privy to that, yeah.
That the union, or excuse me, the memorandum of agreement would be, I don't know if I'm saying this right, so that we would not have that additional cost in this first one versus the second one?
Can I say?
I can address that, Carrie, for you. I can't give you an answer. the Faculty Association is waiting for the budget process to be completed by the Board of Education, and then we'll address it as a Faculty Association based on where the board ends up.
Okay, so could either way, the 80,000 could come back then, is what you're saying?
It is certainly, at this point, is conceivable or possible to come back, but I can't tell you that it will. That would depend on a Faculty Association vote.
So, okay, I'm hearing you. So essentially what's going on is, not this one, but the first one, potentially we would need to add the 80,000 back into the first one, whether there's a 1% decrease or not.
Right?
Right.
Okay. Just like
I just want to make sure I'm understanding everything.
Right. That's why it's grouped with that 1%. You drop for every 1% to 74,000, 75,000. If we do the extracurriculars, then that's another 80,000. Right. That's why the two are together there.
Vince, the article was in the Eagle last week.
Could you use the microphone, please?
Because the Eagle's not here tonight. The article that was in the paper last week, that misinformation.
Did you talk to
them? Do you know if they're going to communicate back into the newspaper? A lot of folks were...
I spoke with Ashley last night. I don't know if they're what they're going to do. I can ask them again next week's article.
We can ask them for...
We can ask them, but I can't, you know.
Right, I just want to... That would be helpful.
Yeah. Right, yeah, I mean, I did speak to them, and I said, what are you doing? But they were like, oh, sorry.
What are we projecting at this point still?
A little under 1.9 million. We started the year a little over 2 million in fund balance. We hope we used $800,000 last year in fund balance, or this year, the 12-13 year. I'm projecting to put back roughly $600,000. So that would leave us just a little under 1.9 million in fund balance for the start of the 13-14 year. And that's before we got here. Vince and I came here, it was even below that. We were able to beef it up in time when the crisis really hit. So we were able to almost get ahead of a small amount, but you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars here or there in fund balances can help a lot.
That's also why we're trying to do the distance learning this year, because if we spend it and go through BOCES, the aid will come back next year. It's 55 this year, and I think it's 56 or 57% next year. It's gone up insignificant, but it's still a little bit more. But that's revenue that when we go through and do our estimations, they base it on what we have budgeted. So if we are able to use monies to spend in an area that is going to be an expense-driven revenue and give us revenue next year, I'll try to do that to boost up the revenue for next year.
And when I initially did my mid-year projections, we didn't do this, so that's why they've come down somewhat.
I know you've met with the administration staff, but just to ask a question, have we covered all the areas that we feel that we need to cover that's critical?
When you say that, I still would like to have a teacher at first grade, but
And I wasn't referencing that. I just meant overall. No. Is there anything else that you've seen that's a critical area that's not even mentioned here?
There's things like the locker rooms that I'd love to address. The locker's here, but that's nothing we can do within the general fund.
Any other classrooms or anything?
I would like to get back to a business program at some point as well.
But, other than that, the staff-student ratio is okay.
We should be fine with that, yeah. Unless we get the influx like Colleen was talking about, we get an awful lot of people moving in this year in first grade, and you can't predict that. You know, too, if somebody, and I hate to say this, but we have a special ed student moving in. We got that crunch last year. Somebody's out of state place, and we still have to continue it this year.
Carl, I was wondering if you can explain to the people about that $80,000 for the extracurricular.
I think Mr. Panini has explained that I can't add anything to what he's already said. The extracurriculars are for club. We're currently doing all the clubs for free. We're doing all the extra after school support, honor society, all of construction club that just requires so much over and beyond. But anything that can fall within the school day, your faculty association is doing for free.
And since it's an MOA, it's a negotiated item at this point, so we really can't have that discussion in public. If you want, we can have another executive session like we did yesterday.
When are you looking for a decision from the board?
Yesterday. It would be nice as soon as possible, so. If you're willing to do something tonight, this is an advertised meeting, you can do that. If not, the 22nd is the absolute drop dead date. We have to get certain information to the printer so we can get it out by...
We have to have it to the state by the 26th. They need at least 5 business days. And he said at least, so, you know, we're really, you know, after that 22nd, we're pressed for time as it is.
And this also includes the sports event.
Excuse me, yes. The sports came back last time when we got the 98,000 in the BOCES.
When the health insurance came in more favorably than originally projected, that's really what was able to get the sports back in. That was offset by some increased BOCES. You know, that's why there's a lot of information. In February, there's still a lot of unknown information. And you know, that's our first budget meeting, I think, was February 25th. There still were a lot of potential numbers, not concrete numbers.
And even after they gave us the bottom line with the insurance, they negotiated more with Blue Shield.
Right.
And BOCES was able to get more.
Well, my 2 cents is that I feel comfortable with this, and I feel the only thing that I would say from my 2 cents is that I would prefer to see that if we need a teacher at the first grade, that we need a teacher, if we can find that additional money without increasing. That would be my preference. Other than that, I'm comfortable with what we have.
That would be the last position we'd fill then, because if we can make the savings on the others, it would be easier.
I would prefer that. I would prefer the teacher at first grade somehow, rather than a teaching assistant. That would be my only criticism to this, would be I'd rather see a teacher. But if that's what we need that.
You know, another thing too, in these projections, I have to a budget for a family plan. So depending on, you know, we could hire somebody that is an individual plan, and right there's, you know, $10,000. So, but you have to budget your worst case scenario because you can't be caught short. So there's, you know, other factors that may come into play to allow these things to happen.
Well, it sounds like from listening to Colleen, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like we're tight as it is there. And in my opinion, I would rather us see what we can do right from the get-go. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
Other than that, I'm comfortable with what we have.
So is that an okay from the board, or do we do it officially?
Last time, people are comfortable with it. The last time we were trying to get it from 3.56 down to 2.56, and you're okay with going with the 3.56?
I am, in regards to the needs for the students.
So I'd like to make a motion to approve the budget as recommended.
I'll second that.
Discussion?
Vince and Beth, I just want to thank you guys. I think you've done a tremendous job. This is not easy. And you do a great job. Regarding that first grade teacher, I want to say I do trust you to make it happen if it's at all possible. So
thank
whether
you.
Possible or not, I don't know, but I know if it is, I know you'll make it happen. I'm very pleased to see, after the last 3 years of heavy cuts and a lot of fear and a lot of uncertainty, I'm very pleased to see what appears that we're going to be going to a budget that's actually restoring academics and actually building back. I know this district is in excellent fiscal health. It may not seem that when we look at the numbers, but you have to put that into the context as to what's going on with the state. So, tremendous job. Thank you.
Oh, I'd like to piggyback on that for a moment, and I just want to make sure that we're clear on what the motion is, because I would say the same thing that you just said. However, I just really want to make it clear that I would like for us to consider a teacher there as part of the motion moving forward.
Okay.
Without increasing the 3.5 whatever.
It's basically the expenditure side, so if we can make it work within the total. Yeah.
Like, that's spend. What I would like to put as a motion. If we have to do two, that's fine.
No, that's not at all. I don't think we're at all at odds. Yeah. I believe what the board actually voted on is the final number of
right,
the budget.
Right, so, but just giving you where to go, I would like to really emphasize that I'd like to have that taken off and put a teacher there and figure out how we can keep those numbers the same without increasing for the community, but putting a teacher there, because if we need a teacher, we need a teacher.
Okay. Your head.
I'm Peggy and Tom.
I want to thank Colleen and for putting together the presentation for people who need to know what tax levy is and all this terminology pieces.
Oh, she still is here. I thought you were last.
Thank you very much.
Well, what we tried to do is explain it to her, and we figured if she understood it.
She put it in pictures.
I need to be able to understand this, and it took all day yesterday.
That is very helpful.
We gave her a coloring book.
And I'm also comfortable and happy to see that we're able to do this. So I'm very comfortable with the budget.
Do you have an opinion about the teaching assistant?
I have a strong opinion about the teaching assistant versus the teacher also. As a first grade, that's a critical grade, so if we can do that at all, I'd like to see that.
Okay.
I also would like to definitely see a teacher in that position. But I am very concerned about the $80,000 for the extracurricular.
My only comment is, knowing Vince and Beth and their magic, we'll end up with both.
I don't know about that.
I don't know, but I trust that that's where you're going. That's where you're going.
But you would come back to us if there's some kind of something that goes, that happens, that would impact us again.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. I'm hoping beyond hope we'll get more money when they change the look back period.
Yeah, there was a motion. All those in favor of supporting this with the first grade teacher, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
I'm really very concerned about this extracurricular.
Well, this is just for this, and we're assuming that the extracurricular is in, that we're, what we're voting on is this right here.
Right.
So that would be the assumption that the extracurricular, the faculty would be coming back and saying they're still good with keeping it the way that it is this year.
Right.
So if it changes, we'd be voting again, correct?
If it changes, I will definitely be back and let you know.
Right. So what we're voting on, Lillian, to my understanding is that the $80,000 is the faculty saying, yes, we'll do what we need to do.
Hang on one second. We've already voted. Right
she
now,
hasn't voted yet.
Well,
I went back to discussion. You're right.
And this is an important clarification, because the motion I made was to approve the budget. Now, what I've heard, I think we agree that we want to see that teacher in there.
Yes, we
possible.
Do.
But what I think
without an increase.
But I think what was said after the vote is that there's an understanding that Vince is going to have us revote this, and I don't think that's a here. We've approved the budget, and
the total expenditure is what
is
being
that right
approved.
There?
Right. That
no,
not
it'll be that
000.
Eight that first page, the 18 million, plus the 274.
Does that include the 80,000?
Minus the 50. Does it include 80,000? No, because
So that's what we're approving. So if I'm understanding correctly, I'm trying to simplify it a little bit here. So if I'm understanding it correctly, what we're approving is the scenario without the 80,000.
Correct.
Okay. That's what I was
right
trying
there,
to say.
I didn't know which way it was going.
Yeah.
We can't say anything about the
80,000.
Uh-huh.
No, I know, but we're just saying that what we're approving is without it. That's what I was just seeking clarification.
Let's just do this. Vince, could you just tell us what the final number we're voting for our budget?
It would be the 18,559 plus
the 274.
The 274, which is at the top of that page.
Yeah.
274 is the only thing that's been added. The, here, let's try this. Oops, I'll get it eventually. That number was prior to the legislator's vote, or the legislator's proposal. When the legislators gave us their proposal of what the state aid would be, it was 274,881 more. So that's what we would be adding, the 274,881 to, oh God, the 18,559,386.
For a grand total, and I know you guys weren't prepared for a vote tonight, which is why we're doing this, but I believe the number is $18,824,267.
What was that again?
$18,834,267.
We'll check your math.
I have further discussion before I vote. I'm sorry. Can we go back to the second page where you have projected revenues?
They're very good there. Carry on. Now, projected revenues. This is without the $274,000. So that's going to go up as well when the expenditures go up.
So you've got the $18,000, $18 million.
Right.
So you've got a deficit of $1 million.
These are old numbers, Lillian, at this point, because this was put in there to clarify the Eagle.
Right.
The Eagle's report.
The 67.
The 67,000. Okay. But if you want to start here, you're going to have, I mean, and it's going to get hard because you're not going to be able to see it, but you're going to have projected revenues, the 17,485. You're going to add the 274 to that.
Right.
Projected expenditures, the 18,491. Add the 67,000, and then add the 274.
And that's what Paul was just asking.
And that should be the number that Paul came up with, the 18,834,267. That's going to be the expenditure side of the budget.
So what we're actually voting on in the number is?
The expenditure side of the budget.
And what about this budget surplus, Darren?
When the health insurance numbers came in more favorable than originally projected in the February 25th meeting, offset by some BOCES expenditures, that gave us $67,000 more.
And that's what we're spending.
And that's what we said, we're going to restore the sports.
Right.
So that. Now when you flip through the PowerPoint and you get to that $18 million, almost like third to the last page, that includes the $67,000. Where I do it by the function codes, and I have the description of the accounts, that $18,559, I think it's the third one from the end. Third or fourth? Fourth from the end. So that number, that 18,559,386, that includes the 67,000. Because that was discussed at a prior meeting. That second slide is for clarification only. No. Now we have to add in the 274 that was undecided as of the beginning of tonight. So then the vote was basically to take the additional state aid and use it to restore staff. So now you have to add that number to that, because that was the consensus. So that's the number we're voting on. And if Paul's calculator is correct, it's
$18,834,267.
Shall I do it again? Feel like it. I didn't bring my phone with me. All right. That's a good password.
I also have another question.
Sure.
On that same page,
make sure we understand.
I know. 2850, which is the third box down. You have $32,000 in the budget for extracurricular. What is that?
Oh, that's the curriculars that are already being paid for.
Drama,
the prom, graduation, the yearbook. I think that's it. And then there's also in that budget code, the ski club, because like they go every Friday, so they're above and beyond. And then the state gives me my function codes. I don't pick the codes, but they say in those codes you're to budget for band and chorus. So there's a small portion that's band and chorus supplies. I think it's $2,000 or $4,000. It's very small. And then there's also the extracurricular treasurer salaries in there, and that's a couple thousand dollars as well.
You don't have any questions. So if the 80,000 comes back in, then what you're going to do is you're going to go off of what you did in your hierarchy if we have to do that. So we're not going to increase the levy or anything like that.
Correct.
If that comes back in, then you're going to say to us, okay, my fifth one or whatever it is coming off the table to cover this or
right.
Whatever you just, okay.
Yep.
That makes sense to me.
I'm sorry, I'm just a little confused about some back and forth here. I'm hoping you can clarify. Is my understanding that the restoration, continuing to provide the extracurriculars as they have been now is dependent on you adopting this scenario with restoring all seven of the faculty? It sounded like...
I'm sorry, I can't...
The MOA is a negotiated item, and they talked
right.
about it yesterday in executive session. And
but,
technically,
right.
we can't have a discussion in public about that.
But that is what it sounds like, right? I mean, that they're, one is dependent on the other. Because you've got two different scenarios. You said you could only, the 80,000 would be dependent on adopting this scenario one. I guess you can't comment. Okay, that's all right. Fair enough.
Sorry. Okay. Well done.
All right. Thank you
very
much.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.